Golf Talk America is headed to Augusta April 2nd through April 8th as we will be doing live shows from the Masters. Visit primesport.com/masters to secure your Augusta badges, hotel packages, and even hospitality access now.
The PGA Tour presents the fusion of golf, music, sports, and entertainment. Golf Talk America. Streaming live on PGATour.com. Follow us today and every day on Twitter at Golf Talk America. Now, the Golf Talk America crew.
And welcome in, everybody. It's Frank Bassett joining you from the Nashville studios. We have Tim Matthews, who is running around town in Dallas, Texas, joining us via phone. Hey, Tim.
Hey, Frank. How you doing today? Everything good in Nashville?
It's great. It's cold. It's clear skies. And it's going to be about 55 to 60 degrees, so I'm going to go hit some balls. I'm going to get some wedges. So I need to work on my wedges. Plus, we need somebody on this show to tell us about S grind, F grind, G grind, R grind. Ooh. All the grinds of the wedges. That might be Bob
Vokey. Seriously, what? Do you really want to know that? I mean,
yeah.
Does it do anything for you at this level? Really?
Yeah, no.
Oh, my S grind is all messed up. I need a G grind.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that'll help it.
Yeah, grind, just whatever. Yeah. Grind is my middle name these days. Anyway, yeah. So how's it going? You're not in Austin. You're still in Dallas.
No, I'm a few hours north, and I'm not in Punta Cana either. I mean, which is getting an awful lot of attention, I'll tell you right now.
What? Somebody special playing there?
Yeah, there's a little Dallas guy playing down there. They snuck Tony Romo into the field, and so far up there, I got to be honest with you, and I've seen Tony play a number of rounds of golf, and he's a very good golfer, but, you know, again, he's a good golfer as a club golfer. A lot of our listeners are very good golfers, too, at their local clubs and around town and stuff, so it's different playing on tour. And you got to remember, too, that, you know, he's playing in the Corrales Punta Cana Resort and Club Championship down in Punta Cana, and it's certainly the, I don't want to say it's a secondary, but it's not the guys in the 64 field, the World Golf Championship down in Austin. But having said that, it's Jim Furyk and Retief Goosen and all kinds of guys that have been on the tour for a long, long time and major champions, and Tony Romo, you know, who's never been on a PGA Tour. I don't think he's ever played a Web.com or Latin America or any tour event. So he's tried to qualify for U.S. Opens before and not gone very far.
That's tough.
But he's hanging tight. He's even par through 13 holes, so he's six back. The leaders are 6 under, but now 7 under. Garnett just made a birdie, so... You know, anyway, good for him. I mean, I don't know how much, if he'll make a cut, if hanging around par will get you a cut down there, but he's doing better than I thought. I thought he'd probably be at 4 or 5 over at this point. And, you know, it's a big open golf course. I don't know if you've ever played Punta Cana, but it's it's very wide, right on the water, so wind blows and stuff. But it's hard to miss fairways there because it's so wide. But anyway, it's almost, he's the Tiger Woods of the Punta Cana tournament, because they're not missing a shot that Tony hit. They even had Jim Nance on the Golf Channel coverage. They had Jim Nance call in from Omaha, where he's broadcasting a game today and tonight on the NCAA tournament. And Nance even called in with an update on his thoughts on how
you're
he's doing.
Kidding.
Yeah, well, so they're giving a lot.
That goes to show you. Well, in Austin, Texas, of course, the World Golf Championships Dell Technologies Match Play is going on, and yesterday was a big day.
Yep.
I want to clear something up for our listeners, though. Okay, the format of this thing, it's a 64-player match play field divided into 16 four-player groups. Each group will play round-robin matches within their group on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, and then the players receive 1 point for victory, half point, and 0 points for a loss, of course, half point for a tie.
Right.
But this thing, it finally narrows down to the top seed for each of the 16 four-player groups, or the top 16 players in order of their position in the official World Golf rankings. The remaining three players in each group were determined by a blind draw from each of three pools, depending on their standing in the official World Golf rankings. So this was kind of complicated to put all this together. We saw the show the other night with on the Golf Channel. The pairing party, if you will. So this is different than, you know, week in and week out PGA Tour play. This is match play, and it's fun. But yesterday,
yeah.
Tim, I mean, what are your thoughts about yesterday? We had some big boys go down.
Yeah, some upsets. You know, Rory and Dustin both go down, and that kind of happens. Dustin hit two balls out of bounds on the same hole. Match play is just that way, and Dustin is the defending champion, as well as being number one in the world for over a year. So obviously a very, very good player, and he goes against a lesser, if you will, in the rankings, but it just shows you it don't really matter. When you're playing match play, almost anything can happen. And Patrick Cantlay, played well, and Rory coming off, I mean, red hot. You would have picked Rory to certainly win his first round, and he doesn't even win after 4 days after playing so well in his win last week. So it's a really different format, and it does all these guys kind of say the right things because they certainly have all played match play through college and amateur ranks and whenever and previously at this tournament, but. It is a different mindset. You know, you can hit three out of bounds on one hole and it doesn't kill you. It costs you that hole. But in a lot of tournaments, you're going, okay, I'm done for the hole. Well, not here. So there's a gambler's mentality to sometimes go for it because I can afford to maybe lose a hole if I think I can drive this green or get it there with a three wood and that kind of thing. So I think it lends itself to some really exciting golf. Spieth even got it kind of tight there with Charles Schwartzel yesterday and finally put him away on 17. Spieth is, by the way, all square right now. And his round robin, it's Patrick Reed, Schwartzel, and Hoang Tong. And he's playing Tong right now, but they're all square through three holes.
Easy for you to say.
Yeah, real easy.
How would you like to have had Bubba Watson yesterday?
Oh, I know. Was he on fire?
It was unbelievable what he did. I mean,
yeah.
My God. Yeah. I just, oh, well.
But I think it lends itself, kind of what I was saying, I think it lends itself to Bubba's style, right? I mean, Bubba's an ultimate gambler, and he's a guy that'll go for a lot of shots. He'll go for the drive where, it's 12, I believe, that, is long, and you can drive it way down this hill. But if you hit it too far, meaning if you hit it in the 450 range, in the 350, 370 range, which is reachable because it's downhill, downwind, you can get into a hazard. So, yeah. Okay, you scale it back. You know, if you're Bubba, I want to hit a 360. I don't want to hit a 375. You got to kind of go, ooh, so swing a little less, to get that 360. But he'll do it. I mean, what I'm saying. It's a great event for guys like that.
Well, but to go out and birdie, seven of the first nine holes, if I were playing against him or anybody else, I mean, Brandon Grace was like deer in the headlights, and he finished him off 5-3. But Watson was absolutely on fire yesterday. And
Peter Uihlein beat Rory.
I didn't see that coming. Who did?
Not to think that would happen. Phil's obviously been playing well, and he loses to Charles Howell and lost. I mean, he was down pretty quick, and so Uihlein was up on Rory quickly. So it's for some of these guys, I guess the guys that are ranked outside maybe the top 25 that are happy to be there. It's really, since it is a round robin, you'll play all three guys in your other three guys in your group of four. You can gamble some and say, if I lose to Rory, okay, I'm supposed to lose to Rory, right? So let me go for some shots here. And so maybe for some of them, there's a relaxation in that again, I can afford to blow a hole here and there, but I can also get a birdie when maybe if I was playing with my score counting, it would not be
stroke
the same
play.
Shot.
Yeah, stroke play.
I'd be sitting there saying, okay, I got to play this safe.
I got to tell you, the best match of the day, in my opinion, was the Kuchar-Zach Johnson match. They combined for 15 birdies between the two of them, and that was just a great match. And
yeah, it was. It was also a good match too with Rahm and Keegan Bradley.
That was good. That was a good match too.
Yeah, they ended up tied. I mean, isn't it amazing? I mean, it's a 64 person field, right?
Yep.
So Julian Suri is number 64. Number 63 is Keegan Bradley. So that tells you how strong this field is. I mean, Keegan certainly isn't quite what he was a few years ago, but he's Keegan Bradley. I mean, he knows how to win. He's won a major. He's been Ryder Cup and all that. And so that kind of tells you, even if you're up high and you're John Rahm and you're number three and you got to play 63, you normally would go, okay, well, that's like playing Tim Matthews. I can close my eyes and beat this guy. Except for 63 is Keegan Bradley. So you're going, okay.
Well, Zach Johnson was 54th. He's the 54th seed. I mean, Johnson. Yeah. Siwoo Kim's 50. Pat Perez is 15. And Pat Perez had to come back. He was down to Siwoo Kim, and they finally have their match. So, and of course, Woodland and Simpson you spoke about, they have their match. So this match play is tough. I mean, on any given day. And then Tommy Fleetwood, it's just nuts. It was just a lot of fun to watch. It's going to be a lot of fun today on the Golf Channel.
What do you think about the golf course? I mean,
I love it.
Austin Country Club.
I have been to Austin Country Club. I have been there.
Yeah.
I love it. It's a Pete Dye design, and it's just harder than hard. We say that every week, don't we? That golf course is hard.
Yeah,
it's really a beautiful course. It's different. It's really, It's fun. It's a beautiful place. Austin Country Club is just an absolutely gorgeous country club. But yeah. I think it lends right itself better to match play than it does to stroke play.
Well, it's got some, you know, very unique features. As I said, some drivable par fours. It's got some shorter par threes. It has undulation. So it's the hill country. If people aren't familiar with Texas, Dallas is pretty flat. But you start going south a few hours and get towards Waco and south of Waco and into Austin. And it's the hill country, and you're not finding mountains, but you can have, you know, 100-foot difference in fairway and greens and up and down. And so it's very pretty, and exposed rock, you know, a lot of granite and rock down there too. So it lends itself to a much more rustic kind of southwest looking golf course. And if you notice with the water right there as well, they bring that into play on a number of the holes right there along the. And the fans park their boats right there.
Oh, sure.
Kind of watch from their boats. And, you know, the weather's been great here. It's been in the 80s the last several days. It'll be in the 80s the rest of this tournament. So it's a beautiful place to go and hang out and watch. And I was there a couple of years ago for it and walked the course and talking to Fred Albers and Doug Bell and those guys that were doing the play-by-play on PGA Tour Radio. And, of course, Fred's from El Paso. But even those guys were like, it's a beautiful golf course, but it's wearing me out because yeah. You've got to, when you're walking the course with the players, you're putting in 7 tough miles of walking that golf course, plus maybe even more than that, up and down a lot of hills. Same with the fans.
What do they say about Austin? I mean, we know Austin, me being from Nashville or in Nashville, yeah. Whatever, you know, we're Music City, USA. Austin has a ton of live music also, but yeah. Austin has a theme about it or a saying about it, go crazy or...
No, keep Austin weird.
Keep Austin weird. That's it. Yeah. Keep Austin weird.
And it's not only a saying; it's a lifestyle.
I've heard of a place in Austin called Hippie Hollow. I heard it was a nude beach or something like that.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it.
Have you been there?
I've been on the lake that it's on. It's on Lake Travis.
Okay.
But yeah, it's just a place where it's exactly what it sounds like. It's where hippies would hang out. It goes way back to the 60s and 70s. Okay. And that's where Austin Weird kind of thing gets into is it was a very, for this part of the country, you know, I mean, I guess you would think of maybe California or Berkeley as sure. having some of that, maybe in the north and sure. Ivy League schools or somewhere where it's a little bit more of a liberal feeling, maybe that they had some of that. But Austin always had that kind of a culture and a feel for hippiedom, if you will, and just kind of free thinking and all that. So it still does to this day. Dell, of course, the title sponsor, is based right there. Michael Dell went to the University of Texas, and as every great American, apparently, he dropped out and became a billionaire. So that's the way that works. You know?
Now I know how to do it. Darn it.
Yeah. Why am I staying in school, Dad? I mean, dropping out is. Okay. Yeah, if you got a Mark Zuckerberg idea, go ahead and drop it.
I didn't want to go to work. I enjoyed Ole Miss. I wanted to stay there forever.
Yeah.
So,
Austin's been that way, and it still is, and it's a very fun city. I will say this. It has grown so much that it's not as fun because, like any city that's grown, it's tougher and tougher to get around, and the infrastructure was kind
of... Tell me about it.
Suddenly, it's you know, got 2 million people when, you know, 10 years ago it had 700,000 people.
Yeah, and the infrastructure is built for 500,000, basically. Yeah, kind of like Nashville. Yeah. Same thing. We're going through the same thing here. By the way, Nashville, talking about cities and infrastructure, if they build this new transit system that will be voted on this year, I don't know how many billions it's going to cost, and it's going to take 15 years to complete, which I'll be dead. But we'll have the highest sales tax of any city in the United States if it goes through. They're going to raise it to 10.25%.
Is that right?
Yep. So I will be ordering things online from everywhere.
Until they figure out, and then they'll figure out, you know, tax that. Well, you can count on it.
If it's Amazon, it's taxed anyway. But Orange Creek Country Club in Austin, Texas is another.
Orange Creek?
Orange Creek. Was it Orange Creek?
Onion Creek?
Onion Creek. That's it. Onion Creek Country Club. I played there one time. I mean, it's been so long ago, I couldn't remember the name of the club. But it was famous for something, wasn't it?
I think Onion Creek was the site of the first senior tour event.
I think so.
I think Onion Creek is where it all got started back in, you know, I'm going to say early 80s or something like that. That Onion Creek is where Arnie and Lee and all those guys that at that time were in their 50s decided to play, maybe it was late 70s. But anyway, that's where they kind of kicked it off. And it was small and let's see if this will work kind of idea. And obviously it's stuck around and it's done pretty well. Yeah.
Did pretty well for Steve Stricker in Tucson while we were out there too. So
I'll tell you what, I mean, Austin has, because of the terrain I was talking about, It has some of my favorite golf courses. And you can go on down to San Antonio, which is just another hour south of there. And of course, where the Valero Texas Open is on the PGA Tour.
Sure.
And great, great, same kind of topography that it's hilly. It's got a lot of exposed rock and creeks that kind of come through. So the golf courses that they've created there, and again, Austin being part of that hippie culture, is that they don't want to mess with, I mean, you've got, everything's recyclable. Everything is very, there's an aquifer that goes under it. I'm giving you more than you want here, Frank, I know, but it's, they live for all that stuff. So you can't move too much dirt. You can't do too much. So they'll give you a fairway, but well, how, leave everything else alone. Kind of don't mess with it. So it stays raw.
How did they allow Pete Dye to build a golf course if they don't let you move that much dirt?
He's right on the Colorado River, right? Yeah. So the water body you see that's right there is the river, and it's a very wide river, so it looks a lot bigger than just a river a lot of people are used to. And so that's one point. So they let him do his railroad ties, which he couldn't live without, so he had to do some railroad ties somewhere. So he did those on the water feature that comes off, and then they had inlets that kind of come in off the river that created a few more ponds and little things there too. But when you go from that side towards away from the river, it is really raw. That's where the walking part comes, because once you get away from that shoreline, if you will, it gets hilly and rocky. Yeah. You've even seen, I think, on a couple of holes, or one, if I can remember right, the par three that has the power lines.
Yeah,
right, that are kind of like going right over top of it or something like that. They, of course, wanted to move those, but you've got to go through, I think, about 9 years of rezoning to get
and studies and yeah, $3 million so dollars like, worth we'll of just, impact. Just,
yeah,
absolutely.
Like just leave them there.
I shouldn't bring this up because I don't know the answer, but I know someone hit those power lines in a tournament.
Yeah.
Over the past years, and I can't remember who that is, but I'll look that up and we'll talk about it on the next show.
I think the ruling, whenever there's a power line, I think you get to re-hit. Am I right on that?
I believe so, but I'm not sure about that either. And we should know that.
I mean, it doesn't come into play very often at all. But, you know, remember you go to Marion, you go to some, and this isn't as old, but Austin Country Club's is 60s course.
Yeah.
50s, 60s. I mean, it's been there a long time. Yeah. Redone, obviously, but it's been there a long time. But, you know, at Marion, right, you got a train track going across. So sometimes those odd, unique, different kind of features are kind of cool, because most PGA Tour events are, if not pristine, pretty much done on pristine conditions, right? We clear this out, and then we build our golf course. And when you've got a place that they're like, well, we're not going to let you do that, then you work around it, but it kind of makes it unique, you know? And so the power lines are there, but you're like, okay, well, hit under them.
I'm not sure if you re-hit or what. Well, we'll ask Steve Elkington about that and see. He should know that answer. It's kind of like at TPC Sawgrass the year that the Pelican picked up the golf ball off number 17 and flew away with it and dropped it in the water hazard. Of course, you got to replace the ball, but it was pretty funny when they were standing around with rules officials going,
they're all looking at each other.
What do we do?
Okay.
What do we do here?
That one. Yeah.
Shoot that bird.
I had that happen. I told you that one time. I had a hawk, and of course, here in Dallas, picked my ball up out of a bunker. And I thought he was trying to get away with her. So a pretty big hawk. And
Ben Hogan?
Couldn't. No, not that hawk.
Oh, not the hawk. A hawk.
Tried to get out and got out of the bunker, then dropped it and flew away. And I go, well, thank you. And I said something
to the
pro afterwards. He goes, you got to put that back in the bunker. I go, well, see, I didn't know the rules.
That's so DQ, baby. You're DQ.
I had a good lie. And I'm like, I like that hawk. Yeah, he actually, I mean, he hopped and hopped.
You brought that with you.
Like, what are the odds of that?
Fetch.
A hawk's going to swoop down and pick up your ball.
Fetch, Fluffy, fetch. Yeah. All right, so what's outside of the Dell Match Play you're going to watch this afternoon?
You know what? We're going to definitely watch that. I've got, there's a million things. It's just a busy, busy time for me. My brother and his sister are coming in town tomorrow. Their spring break. He's from Chicago, where they're still at about 24 degrees. So he can't wait to get down here and get out of Chicago, get out of Dodge, literally, to get away. So anyway, I have some preparation for that. I do, by the way, Frank, we talk weather all the time. Weather, I said, was great here.
Yeah.
If you're watching what's going on in Dominican, weather's beautiful down in Punta Cana, too. But the thing that's in my craw now about the weather is, if you notice that it's snowing again in Philly and Boston and New York and all over the East Coast kind of, and it's another nor'easter, and I'm like, okay, Are we overusing the nor'easter term? What is with this nor'easter? It's a snowstorm. It snows. That's what happens in the north and the east. It snows. It doesn't make it a
But I think it has to do with the winds. It has to do with the winds coming out of the northeast and swirling around. I think that's how they say it. No, I talked to our friends at Titleist yesterday, by the way, and they are they closed their offices. They were all at home.
Oh, yeah.
So
in today's world, I mean, I know you grew up more in the south and I was in the north. We never closed for anything, Frank. I mean, and now people close. And I'm not saying you don't want to for bad weather.
But,
oh my God, it's snowing, and you're going to you're like
No. Nashville, they close the schools if the weather girl hints, the weather person, I should say, hints that it may be a freezing morning. They'll delay school's opening for 2 hours so the little darlings won't freeze at the bus stop. Come on.
I do give a little slack to places. And that, you know, that's in the mid-south there that aren't as used to it. But I'm saying they're closing schools in New York and Boston. And you're like, since when haven't you grown up in snow in Boston and New York and Philadelphia that you're going, oh, we better close everything. I'm like, how do you close for it? I mean, I get it if it's a major going to shut down everything, but snow? Like, okay, it's just snowing. Rain? It's my point to this all, Frank, is that the meteorologists of the world have scared the heck out of everybody.
Yes.
Everybody
yes.
is now panicked about any weather. If it's raining, they lead the news with it. And you're like,
you know what?
Oh, give me a water's coming from the sky.
I just thought of something. We can go on disability and collect money because I am psychologically damaged because of the weather people.
There you go.
I'm going to the doctor today.
I'll support that.
Because mailbox money.
It's become so over-dramatized. Anyway, that's my rant for the day. Another nor'easter. I'm like, just call it a snowstorm. Okay, it's snowing. And then they go live, and it's snowing. I mean, it's not wind blowing sideways. It's not hurricane with snow in it. It's snowing. And they're like, oh, whoa, another nor'easter. It's just another snow day.
Well, all right. I know you got stuff to do, so I'll let you get out of here, and we'll...
Jordan Spieth, by the way,
do some more fun
I know
tomorrow.
People are going to listen to this when it's done, but Jordan has taken a lead over Tong. So Spieth, he's going to be an interesting Frank.
I can't wait.
I'm really curious to see because we're all heading towards the Masters very, very shortly. You'll be there in a couple of weeks.
We'll be there by
our coverage from there.
Prime Sport is sponsoring us to be at the Masters. Prime Sport, if you need hospitality, if you need access to the tournament. All things there. We'll be at the Executive Club, by the way, with Caddy for a Cure. That's a Prime Sport Club. And we'll be broadcasting every day from the Northwood Club, Monday through Sunday. But Caddy for a Cure party, and you need to get your Caddy Bash tickets. So go to caddyforacure.com. Check that out. Go to primesport.com. Check that out. Everything's on the website. And we'll be there. It'll be fun.
Nice.
It'll be a blast.
Nice.
And Steve Elkington's going to come in and co-host with The Sum. And Diane Knox, Russell Knox's sister, Noxie, who hosts Secrets and Lies on secretgolf.com, is going to be with us. Robert Trent Jones has agreed to be on the show with us. Gary Player is going to come jump on with us. Wayne Player, his son, and more. So Russell Knox has to win the Houston Open to get into the Masters, or he probably won't be there. But I know Patton Kizzire has said he would jump on with us, too. So a lot of the Secret Golf team.
Contributors.
Yeah, contributors will be with us. Yeah. It's going to be a fun week, be a busy week, and there's a strong possibility we might run up the road to the RBC after that and hang out at Palmetto Dunes. Yeah,
there
man.
There you go.
Yeah, man.
There you go.
So all right, buddy.
Guys like Spieth and these other ones are, a lot of this, including the Dell Match Play, are warming up for Masters. I mean, this is what it's all about in today's golf. For those level of golfers is competing in major tournaments, and of course the Masters running around the corner. We'll see. Tiger not playing this week, as we all know, didn't qualify, getting ready and been playing very, very well. But from Dustin and Spieth and Day and all these guys, we'll see how they play. And at some point, Spieth's been struggling in particular. If this will be kind of his, okay, now I've kind of clicked in and I got it going because it'll all lead to what's going on at Augusta.
Well,
so
I can't say what we talked about, but I did have a conversation yesterday with Jordan's best friend. I'm not going to mention names and things, but he said that it's coming around. It's getting better. I said, well, I saw that yesterday, but boy, we're just all pulling for him because he's such a good person. His family, they're all so good. His whole entourage around him are just wonderful people. So we're pulling for Jordan to get his putting back and get back in the competitive juices and get to Augusta. So
perfect.
All right, buddy. Well, you have a good day.
Right.
And
Thank you. You too.
I will talk to you in a bit.
Okay. Sounds good, Frank.
Talk to you later, bud. Thanks, Tim.
Thanks.
Tim Matthews, co-host of Golf Talk America, joining us via phone today. When we come back, going to have somebody special join us, somebody I talked about earlier, and I just won't say who that is yet, but you're listening to Golf Talk America on PGAtour.com. This is a really quick break because we record this thing every once in a while, so don't go anywhere. Stay there. Golf Talk America will be live from Augusta, April the 2nd through April the 8th, as Frank Bassett, Tim Matthews, and the GTA crew do shows all week long live. Come hang out with Golf Talk America for the best real-time insights during golf's biggest weekend. Visit primesport.com/masters to secure your Augusta badges, hotel packages, and even hospitality access. But don't stop there. Prime Sport also has featured access to the Ryder Cup in Paris, the U.S. Open at Shinnecock Hills, and the PGA Championship at Belrive. So, stay glued to Golf Talk America and join us in Augusta with Prime Sport. Welcome back, everybody. Frank Bassett joining you today from the Nashville studios. Thanks to Tim Matthews for joining us in the first segment via telephone. I don't know what bar he's in Dallas, but we'll figure it out sooner or later. As I teased before the break, a very special guest is joining me right now from Jacksonville Beach, Florida. She happens to be Russell Knox's sister, but more than that, more importantly than that, she is a co-host and producer of SecretGolf.com with Steve Elkington, the Elk and Knoxy podcast, as well as the host of Secrets and Lies with Knoxy. It's Diane Knox. Hey, gal, how are you?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
I'm good. I'm here cold. You're down at the beach, warm, and I'm just jealous. That's all. Just totally jealous.
Well, you would think so, but it's actually cold in Florida right now. Today, it was like a highs of 55 or something. It's chilly. I had to wear a sweater.
No, in Jacksonville Beach? Okay, the Crab Shack's just right up the beach, and I'm sure they have some beer that'll warm you right up. So
I was going to say, maybe I should be doing this from a bar.
Well, we can do that at Augusta when we're all there together. We'll have to do it.
Sure,
we'll probably
a lot of that.
We'll do it from Steve's travel trailer. When he's doing the big show, I believe. He's doing the big show in Augusta, is he not?
Yep, we have the big show there, and it's fully decked out with a bourbon bar. Pretty much every good bourbon that you could possibly imagine, he will have there. He might not have much by the end of the week, but at the beginning, it will be full, I guarantee it.
Well, if I get there, he probably won't have much left by Tuesday.
I've seen it all before.
Yeah, oh yeah, I'm a Scotch guy though, so it'll be okay. But yeah, we're all going to be at the Masters together. But more importantly than that, we've entered into an arrangement between SecretGolf.com and Golf Talk America, where we're going to be doing some special podcasts and distribution on each other's sites and working with your players that you have on your player channel on SecretGolf.com. Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, I'm really excited about this. I'm excited about our partnership to do the podcast because, well, my background in Scotland was in radio. I was a radio host for 12 years over there. And then I moved to the US a year and a half ago and got involved with Secret Golf. And then we started doing our podcast probably, I don't know, about 9 months ago or something. And it was great for me to get back into the radio side of things. But podcasting is fabulous. And Steve and I have had a really good time doing our podcast with our various players and on various topics related to golf. So to be able to team up with you and everything you do, I can't wait because you do fantastic work.
Oh,
anyway.
Stop it. Keep on.
So we're going to be a great team. But yeah. Obviously at Secret Golf, we have all of our tour players signed to us. And, you know, we get them on the podcast. We like to find out what's going on with them. And especially if we have success with our players, which we've had a lot of. Our players have been doing brilliant things recently. So, yeah, we're just excited to see where this goes, really, and have some fun.
It's definitely going to be fun. We had a good time at the PGA Merchandise Show together. Elk came on the show for a little bit with us and helped us out and added some class to the show. Unfortunately, we didn't get you on, but you and I finally got together via these electronic devices that we're playing with here and are getting to do a little bit of an interview. I'm interested in something that you're doing outside of the Elk and Noxie podcast, you do another podcast. You have a great newsletter, too, and I want to give our listeners how to, before we get out of here, how to get to all that information. But you do a podcast called Secrets and Lies. What's that all about?
Yeah.
Hey.
That sounds very interesting. Who knows? That's the secret. At Secret Golf, we have PGA Tour players, we have web.com tour players, and we have LPGA Tour players. So signed to us, we have Jarena Pillar, Stacey Lewis, Brittany Lang, Brittany Lintercum, and Gabby Lopez. So because we're getting more involved with the LPGA, and we were doing some stuff with the LPGA Women's Network as well, we thought, well, why don't we do something that's kind of tailored more towards the LPGA and more towards not only female golfers, but females that like golf. So I launched this monthly newsletter. And we started it in January, so we've sent out three now. And basically, Secrets and Lies is we talk about what's going on the LPGA Tour, what's going on with our players, golf instruction. We have some fitness. We have lifestyle. We have some fashion. Just a little bit of everything. We keep it very open, very broad, and very fun. I've got two contributors that work with me. One is called Deb Bangelo. Now, she's an LPGA Master Professional. And Deb is just, she's so knowledgeable. She completely blows me away every single month with her knowledge when it comes to lessons, when it comes to buying equipment. She did something in our last newsletter on tackling your nerves when you're playing golf. And then Christina Ritchie as well. And she has a YouTube channel, Get More Pars. And Christina started playing golf not all that long ago, actually. And she's gone through the LPGA teaching credentials. And she does a lot of videos on her YouTube channel. And she's just so much fun. And she does some fitness as well. So I have both of them involved. And then, of course, we link back to Secret Golf and what we're doing with our players too. So it's been great. We've had the newsletter and we do the podcast too. Actually, later today, I'm recording something with Deb Angelo. Last week, we did a podcast on why more women should be playing golf. So as you know, when it comes to podcasting, you can really do anything and everything. So we're really stretching out the topics and it's good. I feel like women's golf is something that it's a little bit of an untapped market right now. So we're just trying to get in there and offer something a little bit different and something that covers a lot of topics.
Well, it's a lot of fun, and I've followed you since you started this the newsletter, which is great. I mean, the newsletter is fabulous. Where can our listeners go to get all this information?
So if you go on to secretgolf.com, we have a link to it there. And then also what I'll do is I'll send you a link so you can include it in the little description and then everyone can click on it that way. But it's all on the Secret Golf website. There's a page there where you can sign up and then the newsletter will be automatically emailed to you. And then on iTunes, we have our Secret Golf channel. So if you go and just search for Secret Golf, you'll get all the podcasts that we do, the Secret Golf with Elk and Noxie, and also the Secrets and Lies is in there too.
That's going to be great. It's going to be a lot of fun in Augusta. And I know Houston's coming up, and Steve will be doing his big show there at the Houston Open. But the Masters, I can't wait for. Again, we'll be broadcasting live from Northwood, which is Prime Sports Hospitality House. So for all of our listeners, stop by and meet Diane Knox and Steve Elkington and Robert Trent Jones III and, gosh, Gary Player is going to be there with us. A lot of folks are going to be there. And we're hoping Russell will win the Houston Open so he can be there with us too.
Oh, yes, we are. I mean, I went to the Masters last year. That was my first time at the Masters and went with Russell. And, oh, my gosh, it was just the whole week was incredible. He had hired a house, so we stayed in his house. And it was one of those moments where when he teed off on the first hole, I had tears in my eyes. I thought, oh my gosh, this is my little brother and he's playing in the Masters.
Yeah, how cool is that?
The past year, you can't even put it into words. It was amazing. But the past year for Russell maybe hasn't gone completely to plan. So we're hoping he would have to win the Houston to earn his place at the Masters. I had dinner with my mom and dad last night and I said, I'm going to be in Augusta. And they said, well, we're not ruling out that we're not going to be there too supporting Russell. So he's playing Houston next week and fingers crossed he can get the job done. I met Russell for lunch the other week, and he said, I'm going to win again this year. He's obviously had two wins on tour before, and he said, I'm going to win. I have no doubt about it. This
Good.
Year, I'm going to get another win.
Good.
So
that
we're
confidence.
Hoping it's next
yeah.
week.
Oh, I certainly hope so. I'd love to see him. If it's not next week, I want him to win again. He's a great, great, great guy and super person.
I
so
have
are
my
you,
prediction
so.
Already. I've said my prediction for a long time that maybe not this year, but it's coming. But at one point, Russell's going to win at Hilton Head, the RBC Heritage, because he loves that course. He's had some great finishes there. So I always say that that is one tournament that Russell's going to have the trophy for one day.
That's a great tournament. And by the way, Palmetto Dunes, we may be. It's not in stone yet. We're 90% there. But after the Masters, we're going to head up the road, it looks like, and do some live shows from the RBC. So if Russell's up there, we better get a headset on him and get him on there. Maybe have you stay a day or two extra and not go back to Jacksonville
Beach.
Exactly. Yeah, that'd be a lot of fun.
I will be there for definite. Yeah, not far for us. And, you know, I'm Russell's big sister. I can definitely make him do things.
Well, this isn't all about Russell. This show's about you. But we have to throw in some Russell there and show him some love because he is such a good person.
Exactly.
And I met your mom and dad a while back. I think I was with the Seymour Putter people at the time when I met your parents.
Oh, wow.
And I can't remember what tournament we were attending, but whatever. In any case, your family's fabulous, and I wish you all the luck in the world, although you do not need it. You do a great job with Secrets and Lies and with Elk and Noxie and SecretGolf.com, which we're so proud and honored to be a part of now. And the Golf Talk America SecretGolf.com relationship is just going to grow and get bigger and bigger, and we're going to be doing a lot of live shows, so you and I are going to be out there with Elk and saying hi to the people face-to-face, which is really going to be fun.
That's my favorite thing to do. I love it. And I always say that the golf community is so friendly and so welcoming, and everyone's always got something to say, so
we can
definitely cover a lot of topics.
Hey,
and
got a question for you, Noxie. This,
of course.
What's going around right now, I just want your personal opinion. You know, with Justin Thomas having a fan removed, and now Sergio Garcia has had to have a fan removed when they get overserve themselves and get a little boisterous and start shouting out things to the players. Have you experienced that or seen any of that when as you're out following Russell or other players? And what is your opinion of that? How do we fix it?
Yeah, well, I mean, you always see it, and I do think it's becoming more common now. And I mean, you've always had the mashed potato and get in the hole. But I think the irony of this is with the likes of Justin Thomas, that obviously him getting the fan removed, that was huge news. And that was the first time that that had really happened and been so prominent, probably because he won that week too. But you've always got it. You're always going to have it. I feel like the fans, the rowdy fans, are maybe taking it too far now in that because it's been so prominent in the news, they're like, yeah, I'm going to do this too. People want their little 5 minutes of fame for no matter what reason. And you're always going to have that there. The thing that I really didn't like, well, with regards to the Justin Thomas situation, I didn't like the fact that he apologized. I don't think he needed to apologize. I think that at the time he made that decision, whether it was the right decision or not. And I think that he was probably coerced into apologizing, but I don't think he needed to. But then I was at Bay Hill last weekend, and obviously Rory McIlroy had a few things to say as well after winning. And the things that he had said were that people were shouting things at his wife. I don't like that.
No.
I think you can, you know, do you know what? These players are kind of used to it, and they're out there, and Rory proved exactly why he's out there still, how good he is, and why he lifted the trophy. But for anyone to say anything to his wife, I'm like, that to me is just terrible. That shouldn't happen. And it got to the point where Rory said, I don't think people should be allowed to drink alcohol at golf tournaments. You know, and that's a whole other issue. But the players can handle it. They're used to it. They're professional athletes. They're in the public eye. And part of being in the public eye is you've got to take the good with the bad. And you're going to get your criticism, and you're going to get your loudmouth, opinionated fans. But the wives and the girlfriends should not be subjected to that too.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Leave the family out of it, because that's going to cause the fight. Hollering at Frank or hollering at Rory or Russell or anything, that's different. I can take it, but don't talk about my family or bring in my family, because that can cause a real issue. So
yeah.
And the drinking part of it, you know, people need to self-police, or their friends need to help police their friends. There was a lot of drinking that's gone on at the Players' Championship when I lived in Pontevedra all those years, 14 years straight, every year at the tournament. There was a lot of partying. I mean, hard partying in those days. But we didn't do that. You know, there was a decorum that was expected. And I think we're losing a little bit of that now. And maybe it has to do with how people are raised or their home life or what they see on TV. I don't know what's causing it, but I think that if we all, as friends of friends of friends, help self-police that and bring it back to respectfulness, then it will be okay. Because they're not going to stop the drinking at the events. They did.
No, and
but,
you know,
go ahead. I'm sorry.
You do see it at every. Sorry, you see it at every event now. I'd say that every event I've been to recently, whoever I'm with, we will make a comment at some point about someone being so drunk, especially on maybe the Saturday, end of the day. People have been outside all day. They've been drinking. People can't even walk to get out of the golf tournament. I do think you see it more often now. I don't think they're ever going to be able to ban the sale of alcohol at these golf tournaments, because you talk about the Players, you talk about the Phoenix Open. It is a party to a lot of people. And people want to go, they want to have a good time. When they're buying their tickets, it's not cheap. So to them, it's a day out. It's a fun day out. And the way society is now, alcohol kind of goes a little bit hand in hand. But you're right, people just need to be aware of the fact that they are at a golf tournament, and there's certain values and a certain type of behavior that goes with being at a golf tournament.
Very well spoken. That is so very true. I just remember one quick story I'll throw out at the Players' Championship. It was when it was the old TPC at Pontevedra, there at the TPC course. They had to wake a guy up on number 18, because the fans used to be a lot closer, because he had passed out by the green and he was snoring and disturbing the players while they were trying to putt. I thought that was hilarious.
Terrible.
And I personally know who it was, but I won't mention his name. But he's a good friend of Tom Novak's, Jerry, his brother-in-law, is who it was. And we went over and grabbed him. I threw him under the bus. We went over and grabbed him and drug him out of there. And his brother-in-law dressed him down for that, because they were there as my guest. And we had lost sight of Jerry. So I have firsthand experience with somebody getting out of hand. But again, we addressed it. And we said, you're not going back, because, you know, that's just improper. Anyway, long story short, secretgolf.com. Go to the site. Check it out. Great videos. Great player channels. Subscribe to it. It's well worth the money. It's not expensive whatsoever for what you get out of it. And you can check out Secrets and Lies and Elk and Noxie and just all the fun stuff we're going to be doing this next year. And I'm looking so very forward to it. We've got to go over and say hi to John Daly, too, while we're at Augusta, because his bus will be over by Hooters. So we'll...
I can't wait to see what he's going to be wearing. That's the best bit about John Daly, is the outfit.
I know.
His line that he wears.
Loudmouth golf is that line. That's not exactly my style, but it's different, and John loves it.
He gets away with it.
He does. He pulls it off. I couldn't pull it off. I'd look like a circus clown in that stuff. So, Diane Knox, you've been a pleasure. Again, go to secretgolf.com and check everything that they do out. I've really enjoyed it. I look forward to seeing you. And we'll be talking on and off now between leading up to the Masters. And just can't wait for it to happen. But thank you for today so much.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you so much for having me on.
All right. Diane Knox. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye. Okay. So that was Diane Knox, or Noxie. She's great. She is just a lot of fun to be around. The sweetest person you'll ever meet. So come out and see us at Prime Sport at the Northwood Club. Come to Prime Sport to the Executive Club. Go to primesport.com and check out everything that they have to offer. If you don't have access today, go there, because I think they can get you in. And the hospitality is going to be great. We're going to be doing a lot of live shows with a lot of great celebrities and people like Diane and Elk and Gary Player, and on and on and on. So I really appreciate everybody listening today and me having to hold this show together. Tim Matthews does a better job of it, but don't tell him I said that, because he'll get the big head. Thanks, everybody. You've been listening to Golf Talk America on PGAtour.com, and we'll catch you soon.